Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Your cold is coming! Your cold is coming! When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Mitch Holthus on the call last night right here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, that was Travis Kelce's touchdown, a historical night for him. A great night at Arrowhead. The Chiefs get to 5-3. They've won 5 of 6. The Bills are on the horizon Sunday afternoon.
We'll talk plenty more about their next few games because there's some big ones.
There definitely are, but got to feel good late night at Arrowhead that then turned into a very late night if you stayed up to watch some baseball as well.
Which many of us did.
Yeah, 18 innings for the Dodgers to walk it off there with Freddie Freeman. But of course, in Kansas City, let's talk some football. You guys can always interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to Patrick Mahomes, who's in the middle of his best run since 2021 and what he's been able to do over the last 5 games in particular, including how he described this team right now compared to a year ago. But the Chiefs now in back-to-back weeks sit on 31-0 victories and now a 28-7 victory. They've scored 28 points in 5 straight games. That is tied for the longest streak in a season in franchise history, and they've done it twice in the Patrick Mahomes era. So if it feels like, oh, that's kind of how they looked offensively in 2021, that's because the last time they were winning this fashion, scored 28 points or more in 5 games, was 2021. So it's all the same vibe here. They are now going out and dominating teams, and this is with them, I would say, in the first half play in their C-minus game.
Oh,
is that fair to say?
Including 2 turnovers, I feel like you could probably get it worse
than that. Maybe a D plus or a D, okay.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, it was, I would say, their B plus game.
Yeah, that sounds right. It certainly wasn't perfection, although same thing applies. I think they reeled it in once they understood that they were probably across the board or going inside of this. You know how this works. Like, once you realize that they had the game in hand, and he just kind of stopped passing and let the clock run out. And so, look, I don't think there's any way, and I'm probably done pointing out or mentioning the Jacksonville game, because it seems to be that game eventually won't mean anything, in the sense that it won't mean anything that about who this team is because they let it go away. Because the truth is, when you watch them right now, this is clearly one of, if not the best team in the NFL. The Colts are getting credit for this, but the Chiefs are doing the same thing. They're beating teams bad. Like, in the NFL, winning by 10 or more points and being up by 10 or more points for a huge chunk of gameplay is beating a team badly. They are winning by 13, 17, 13, 31 And then yesterday, another 21-point victory. So on average, their last, as you mentioned, 5 or 6 wins, they're beating teams on average by 2.5 touchdowns. So, like, it's not much of a sweat. Maybe occasionally a first-half sweat. Okay, fine. But outside of that, they're just playing some pretty easygoing football. Hell, last night's a great example of things went wrong. Ball off of Travis Kelce's hand, interception. Mahomes tries to make a back shoulder throw. I thought it was actually really explained well in the Manning cast, which is, if the guy doesn't turn his back, you don't throw it. So it's a mistake by Mahomes to throw it. Great play by the defender. But it's a mistake because the guy still had his body in position. So 2 interceptions, you're not getting anything going, and you're still up 7-0 at one point, tied at half. It didn't, like, none of that affected it.
I felt like, one, the opening drive for the Commanders, which looks so good, and then it goes off the hands of Debo. That was just such a devastating blow to a team when you're on the road. You're Washington, you're an underdog, you have your backup quarterback, you're in the middle of your scripted 15, you're going up tempo, you kind of have the Chiefs off balance, you're driving the ball, looks like you're in position to get at least a minimum 3 points on the board. Debo Samuel, a veteran, has the ball batted off his hands and didn't catch it, and then he goes right into Mike Dana, who gets his first interception in his football career, period, at any level, by the way. And he had a hell of a night. We'll talk about Mike Dana here in just a little bit and how they needed somebody on the defensive line to step up. But we were all texting a little bit, especially in the first half when the game was close, and I was saying, you know, it feels like, Cody, the Commanders lost the game very quickly in the second quarter when they had forced the 2 turnovers that you mentioned and they had 0 points to show for it. You cannot go on the road in that spot and get Mahomes to throw a pick. Great interception by Lattimore. And then, as you referenced, the Kelce tip pass and not have anything. The first drive for the Commanders, I get it. You know, they had a kicker they signed, former Chief Matthew Wright, off the street. And it was a 58-yard field goal, so you go for it. You're aggressive. I totally get it. The second time, I understand the aggressiveness, and we can say field goals wouldn't have beat the Chiefs. But to me, when you have 2 turnovers, you got to have something to show for it the second time.
And especially when you're the underdog in that situation.
Right.
You're the team not supposed to win the game. You're 11.5-point underdogs going into the game.
Right, and so to me, that's when the Commanders lost the game. Yeah. 2 turnovers, 2 possessions, 0 points to show for it. It was over at that point.
And when they weren't converting the 4th downs, and that's part of their not converting. And some of it was just dead. That one Mariota threw down the sideline had no chance to be completed. And sometimes I wonder with those, it's like, what are you thinking? You'd be better off throwing the ball up in the middle of the air like 500. Don't throw it 15 yards out of bounds. Then no one can catch it. Like, then nobody has a chance to do it. And so at no point, not even including 7-7 at halftime goal, at no point did I think the Chiefs were at risk at that game. And that, I would say, about the Raiders game. And that's how I felt about the Lions game. And that's, I mean, I'll be honest, been feeling that way a lot about Chiefs games. And that's for a Chiefs team that has not had that feeling in a number of years. And that would not normally be the way I would think about it. But no, they're one of the best teams in the league. I know they're 5-3. They're now finally gold. As of today, if the playoffs started, the Chiefs would actually be a playoff team.
They're in the field.
For the first time this season, believe it or not, even though it's getting ready to be week 9, if the playoffs started today, the Chiefs would head to Indianapolis as the 7 seed to take on the plucky underdog Indianapolis Colts. But so, legitimately, last night was another breezy win. And we had said on the show yesterday, I think what stood out about this game is they're kind of in their bag in a lot of ways. I thought, and we'll talk about the defense individually, I thought the defense kind of struggled in the first half to kind of find its footing. Didn't let up any points while they were finding it. I thought the offense in the first half seemed just like that, like a little out of sync, like a watch that's kind of like a half tick too slow. And then in the second half, I mean, finally oiled machine, right? 0 problems, move the ball. We'll talk about Mahomes in a minute. So like for the things that like didn't go well, once it snapped into place, it's like, even if you didn't like the way the defense played, they gave up 7 points in an entire game. I think you had saw the stat I saw this morning, which was that's the lowest amount of points any Commanders team has scored under Dan Quinn.
Yep.
So like,
yeah, this is his second year as a coach.
It's just another complete win. The only area, and we can talk about it later in the week. Victory Tuesday, right? We don't have to run it. The only unit that seems to consistently struggle every week is special teams. Jack Cochran hasn't figured out what a hold is.
Yeah, I will say 2 weeks in a row where Harrison Butker is not a story, which is nice, which is how it should be.
That he didn't even attempt a kick.
Yeah, extra points. That's it.
Yeah. And actually the one kickoff went up in their favor. The ball that kicked out of the guy's arm and then went out the 1 yard line.
That rookie made a big mistake.
Huge
Jalen Lane, I think it was in that particular play.
Yeah, huge mistake. But so like they feel like very complete wins. That's what continues to stand out about me. Andy seems like he's got a good game plan. Mahomes is executing that game plan. every player is contributing. The everybody got to eat part continues to thrive. They're finding Juju Smith-Schuster had a big catch. Last week, Hollywood had a big catch. He didn't even have any catches this week. Or if he did, it was nothing. It's like for a yard, 5 yards, whatever. It doesn't matter who contributes. They seem to have it coming from everywhere.
And your quarterback, if you're the Chiefs, is in the middle of his best run since 2021. I understand they've won Super Bowls since then. But his individual performance in a 4 to 5 week time period, we are watching his best since 2021. Last night, he's just shy of 300 yards passing, 299. He actually lost the yard on the tipped interception. It goes down on that one. Otherwise, if Kelce catches that or whatever, he's easily over the 300-yard mark. Four of his last five games, three touchdowns and at least 250 yards passing. The last time he had that stretch was 2021. The final drive that they were able to execute, another long sustained drive, 13 plays. It actually was a 119-yard drive.
I know. Because of the 25 yards of penalties?
Last night, because of the penalties. Essentially, it was a 119-yard drive. That's how you're able to do that when you have some penalties mixed in. Patrick Mahomes right now is locked in. He's in the zone, however you want to describe it. This stretch of football is why he's the MVP favorite.
Yep.
It's, of course, why this team is on the run that they are, winning 5 of 6. But we have not seen Mahomes play at this level in multiple years, man. And it's really, really fun to watch. And he spoke after the game a little bit as well, talking about, hey, look, last year they won 15 games, but this is better.
Yeah, I mean, I know the record's not as good, but it's a lot more fun just when everybody's kind of going out there and making stuff happen. But I think we're getting better and better. You know, we lost some tough games early that we had won in previous years, but it's not like anyone hung their head. They just continue to get better and better, and that's all we have to do is push forward. And whenever the offense, the defense, and the special teams are rolling, it's fun to play football. And it's been fun to be here at Arrowhead doing it, and now we'll get to take it on the road and see if we can do it again.
And it's a lot of fun when you watch him, and he's playing backyard football out there on some of these plays. It's the stuff that caused everybody, kind of even before everybody turned into haters because they were winning, when everybody initially loved watching Patrick Mahomes play before they went all wacko on the conspiracy stuff. This is what we saw, where everybody would acknowledge this guy is just different, not human, shouldn't be able to do this, but he's on a different planet than everybody. That's how he's playing again right now.
He was from the hip throwing no-look passes to Noah Gray on the sideline. And, you know, like, it all looks comfortable. I think what stands out is, like, wait, that clip, he knows it, Gold. He knows he's back playing at an extremely high level again. And look, it's fairly obvious to understand why. You and I never thought Patrick Mahomes went away and didn't have the fastball anymore. We didn't think that that's what was going on. We just thought they didn't have offensive line to protect him. And for a couple of years in a row, his number one wide receiver was some combination of Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, or a rookie in Xavier Worthy last year, or any other combination of not good enough weapons that made this stuff a much, much, much bigger challenge. But if you look at where he's at this season, he is already, we're 8 games into the season, he's already above 50% of his entire yardage total from last year. He's already only 9 passing touchdowns away from his total and leads the NFL even after the 2 interceptions last year or last night, Gold. He's only got 4 picks on the year. So he's on pace for 40-9 so far this season before we even mention a rushing stat or the other things. And by the way, he didn't have to run a ton last night. Big run on one on a longer down, right? It happens every once in a while. But like, didn't need to run a bunch last night. He is absolutely feeling it. This should terrify the league because they were going to Super Bowls even when the offense looked dull and Patrick Mahomes looked human. And I had to listen to stupid conversations nationally about some guy finally catching up with Mahomes and is the playing field even, and things that just were fundamentally not true. And now that Mahomes is back at it because he's throwing 3 passing touchdowns and 250 yards a game every single game, now we all get to see what
he's back to being the MVP favorite, and he's tied for the NFL lead in passing touchdowns. He's got 17 of them. He's second, very narrowly second, in passing yards. He's basically at 2,100 if you round up by a yard. He's at 2,100 yards passing. And if you mix in his rushing, you give him another 5 touchdowns, and he's got 21, which is the league lead. He's better than anybody in total touchdowns in football right now. Yeah, it is a ton of fun to watch. You know, I think would look at the Chiefs the last couple of years and would look at the 15 win season and, you know, the 1-score game stuff. And, you know, the defense was who was carrying them. And so you didn't believe in as much fans. And typically, whether it's the NFL or even if we're talking about another sport, like when you are able offensively to kind of do whatever you want. I mean, this even applies to baseball. If you can hit the home run, people view you in a much more positive light. Like, you can be a dominant pitching staff in baseball. People won't look at it as and give as much credence to it as if I just tell you that they're hitting 50 more home runs than everybody else in baseball. In football, if I tell you they're scoring 7 points per game more than everybody else, they're not. But I'm just, if I told you that, then you would view them a much better team than if I told you their defense was allowing 7 fewer points. That makes sense. Like, we like points. People, like, we talk about this in fantasy football world as well. We live in a fantasy football world. People like the guy that can go out and put 35 up in fantasy football.
Of course I do.
We like betting overs. Like, nobody likes betting unders. Like, this is just how we're trained now as a sports fan to watch. And so this is a much more enjoyable product to watch when I look at the scoreboard of the last couple weeks and see they're putting up 30, 31, 28, and even a losing effort to Jacksonville, they put up 28. They put up 37 the week before. That is fun versus winning a tight game 20-17 and having a better record,
which was a huge chunk of last year. Well, I mean, we both would agree, I assume, that this, despite the fact the record cannot, like, just can't mathematically already, won't be as good as last year's team. They are better than last year's team. This is a better team. It doesn't guarantee you a Super Bowl. It doesn't guarantee you to get to a Super Bowl or even to get back to the AFC title game, which they do every single year under Patrick Mahomes. But this is a better team. They're currently in the NFL, second in points per game allowed, just behind the Houston Texans. They're now only 2 points behind them, a team that led the way pretty much the last 5 weeks in a row because they're in some slugfest every single week. And seventh in the NFL in points per game. And that includes, Gold, you pointing out that they only scored 21 and 17 in their first two games and 22 in game three. And what happened right around there? Oh, all their weapons came back? Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and everyone else. Over those four games, they're averaging like 30 points a game. Let's just average it. That would be the third best offense in football. So if you just take the last 4 weeks' average and throw it in there in the middle, they're essentially a top three offense and defense in the NFL right now. So, yeah, Mahomes putting up these kinds of stats again and bearing some teams. And again, they have sat. He could have stat padded. Gold? He didn't play the entire fourth quarter against the Raiders. He barely played the fourth quarter against last night against the Washington. Like, they just handed the ball off for the final 7.5 minutes. So they didn't even try then either. And so he could have stat padded it and put more numbers on the board. He is back. Fully back. I never thought he went away, but in the sense that we know he's great, but also the numbers are saying he's great. If you needed both, I guess, for reassurance. Fun game. Easy. You know what? These games, it's like the fourth quarter. I'm like, just hang out, I guess.
They are stress-free. The blood pressure is a lot lower in Kansas City over the last month or so, and more so than last year, as we said, when they were winning 15 games or so. And we will have later in the week to talk to our friends up in Buffalo. We'll touch on the Bills and how we feel about them. And I know we were going through last week when the losses are going to come and all that. Since then, the Chiefs have now put up another, 28, essentially almost 30-point performance. The Bills have suffered an injury on their defensive line. The Chiefs' defense has only given up, 10 points or whatever? Seven points in the last 10 14
points in the last 14 points in the last 10 quarters. In the second half to the Lions and 7 at the end of the first half to Washington. 0 on either other side of that.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not feel good heading into Sunday all of a sudden, too?
Yeah, and look, that game is fascinating. These are the top two guys in the MVP voting right now, and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. They are coming off their best win, their most complete win of the year in Buffalo. It's on the road. Buffalo knows what's on the line for this one. They also have looked far more human the last month than Kansas City has looked human. Kansas City's kicking teams' asses lately. And so, like, which version of these two teams are we going to get? Yeah, I'm very, very curious. And I got the little precursor in the run game because all the design stuff with Mariota. So there's some similarities in game plan.
And they continue their trend of running backs are not running on them. Sorry. Nope. Like, we can talk. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor will be the biggest
James
test
Cook
in a couple
of Jonathan Taylor
back-to-back weeks or 2 or 3 weeks, but Barkley did not go off against them. Derrick Henry, ETN, Ashton Jeanty, Jahmyr Gibbs. Now add, of course, Crosky Merritt, who's not the same name rec as those guys, but had been playing pretty well for Washington. The Chiefs, doesn't mean they don't have deficiencies on defense. We've acknowledged they still need some help on the defensive line. But yesterday on the show, we said somebody else internally has got to start stepping up, whether they make a trade or not. Maybe it's a Minshew. We mentioned the absence of Turk Warden from a year ago. Drew had brought him up. You know, yesterday we all said Mike Dana has been banged up. Well, Mike Dana just had one of his best games of his career yesterday. He had his first interception.
He did.
And you also have
it was a gimme sack, but it was still a sack.
He came through unblocked, great. You know, just unguarded, and he went right into Marcus Mariota. So Mike Dana was sensational. They need his type of performance. They need Charles Omenihue. And they still need to go out and trade for somebody to kind of get the full package there on the defensive line. Because, you know, there were times where they got near the quarterback again. George Karlaftis got the sack early and then it was very close. Charles Omenihue, very close. That's the pressure rate stuff we've talked about. But they still have struggled to actually finish the job and get consistent pressure without blitzing.
No, they have. And I'm not saying, like, it's not like we saw Chris Jones a ton in that game or whatever. But what does it say about this team that they're still doing this defensively, and we're still not sure about the consistency of their pass rush? Like, I do think that that says something about where they are. And look, Dana's was a freebie, right? They forgot to block him. Still counts, man. Mariota still had a chance to juke him. And I'll be honest, when he started moving around, I thought, uh-oh, he's going to make Dana miss. Like, immediately thought, oh, man. Because that's a really tough spot for a defensive lineman. It is harder than you think to get that sack when they are in full open space with no one else around them and a chance to do it. Kansas City's 19th in the NFL in sacks per game. I'm not trying to sugarcoat the fact that they are unable to do it, but we asked somebody on the defensive line to step up, and I thought the two things that stood out the most on the defensive line last night were Mike Dana stepping up, the interception, and look, it's your job when the ball's tipped up there to get the ball, and he did it, and the sack. And then I thought George Karlaftis was getting the most consistent pressure on the entire team yesterday for the Chiefs. His problem, and maybe this is a career problem for him, is he's got to finish the sack. He is very good at getting near the quarterback. He could use some work in the finishing off the sack part of getting to the quarterback. That's not a small thing. It's obviously important, but like, he's right there on some, and it's like, if he could just find a way, like when Mariota stepped inside, I'm like, how did he miss that one? He had a free run at him. And so, like, that one, I'd say, is maybe the only other part. But, yeah, I thought Dana had a great night.
Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have our VFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, join us. Normally at 10:30, we just move things around a little bit. He'll join us at 11. We'll talk some NFL. We'll also ask him if he was up until 2 a.m. last night, or for him, I don't know, I guess, where he was at. I don't know if he was on the East Coast or wherever.
Well, he was just in Toronto for the first couple of games.
I don't know where he's at. Maybe it was 2 a.m. Maybe it was 1 a.m. Maybe it was 3 a.m. I'm not sure. But we'll check in with our VFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, who has been covering the World Series a little bit as well. But I think for the Chiefs at this point in after yesterday and where everybody is discussing them, we'll get to the referee stuff, which once again became a story. And I don't know what they were saying on the TV broadcast versus in person. You guys,
well, I'd say the most damning comment was when Patrick Mahomes got called for the roughing the passer call against Patrick Mahomes, got spun to the ground. I think painfully obvious roughing the passer.
The whistle had already blown.
Yeah, just something you can't do, right? Like, everybody knows, it doesn't matter the quarterback. You can't do that. That's going to get you a flag. He said, the league's going to protect, especially a guy like that.
Oh, Aikman said this.
Yeah, Aikman said, he's like, he was saying essentially, they're going to protect quarterbacks, but he's like, especially that quarterback. And you're like, come on, man. Why you got to say it like that? There is part of me, and I don't know if this is just because I'm hearing it wrong. Sometimes when I listen to Troy Aikman call a game, I feel like he's like happy when the Chiefs are struggling. Like, it brings him a little joy or something. And I don't know if he's just, like, excitingly calling a game in which two teams can do something good, and so
I think Buck and Aikman are actually very, very good. I know they irritate Chiefs fans at times. I was not watching the TV, so I was there. So I don't know what they were saying. I saw that quote that you just referenced, though. Uh-huh. And my immediate reaction is, we don't have to turn into idiots just because we don't like I'm just saying this as in Twitter.
The collective people,
because you don't like the Chiefs, or you think Mahomes is some conspiracy theory and all this. The whistle blows, you can't spin any quarterback and throw him to the ground. I don't care whether it's a rookie and, you know, a 15-year vet, it is a penalty every single time. But we lose our minds when it involves the Chiefs.
Yes, correct. And I don't know why. We'll get to some of the things people were saying online.
It's similar across all sports, too. Like, it's the LeBron treatment, where it's like, if it's LeBron, then, you know, they're going to protect him a little bit more. I think that's the line of thinking. It's not just, you know, football. I think
but
it's
that's
more.
That's not what was happening on that play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's definitively not what was happening on that play. I don't want to ruin everything we're going to talk about in that. Can I ask one question about the game last night? You covered the game as a member of the working media.
There's a working press box, Cody. Working press box.
I have many friends who work up in the press box as well.
Yeah.
Rumor on the street is Dusty was starting fights.
Yeah, Dusty got into it.
I am not throwing an accusation. Uh-huh. I am simply asking a question. Somebody told me that Dusty was getting in fights.
Yep. So
with fellow media members from the opposing team. Is that correct?
Yes. I think this is the only game all year where Dusty has a credential. And it was Monday Night Football. And it's the end of the game. And just to peel back the curtain a little bit, when the game ends, there's kind of a decent rush towards the elevators because you want to get down towards the locker room and get a good spot in line to then ultimately they open the locker room because it's only open for like a 10 minute period or so. And then they close the locker room again. And whoever you got to talk is who you got to talk. And then you go to the podium stuff. So there's, you know, media from Kansas City. There's national media. There's obviously Commanders media. So they're beat reporters and TV, whoever they send. To cover the Commanders. And so we're all heading towards the elevator and we're all like in line waiting and you can't see the elevators from where we're at, but we're in line. And then there was someone like was trying to clean up the buffet from another area. And so this woman was clearly trying to get through with like pans or whatever. And so we all kind of the C parts, if you will.
To and, let her through with
and
the pans.
Meanwhile, there's this other guy that we, very clearly he was not a local. We didn't recognize him. So he's clearly a Washington Commanders beat writer. I have no idea who the guy is. He
like, I'm gonna find
cuts
out.
In front of everybody and like clearly he's like peeking around to see the elevators and Dusty essentially, I don't know exactly what he said, but basically
Dusty
was
said
like,
something to him. He called him out.
Yeah. Dusty said something to him like, hey man, what are we doing? Something like that. And then the guy like turns around, starts walking past Dusty and is like, but doesn't actually
Whoa.
Say it. Shut the, and he doesn't even say
Probably
it.
Like auto-censored
he censored himself. And so everybody, we'd all just kind of start laughing. But yeah, Dust, one game all year, Dusty's in the press box and already getting into trouble. Just starred stuff, you know?
Should have said something back then. Guy's going to tell you to shut the
Logan,
F up.
Then Logan was fighting with Sam Munson on Twitter. Logan was there covering the game. Now, that was just a Twitter thing. But Logan said
was
something.
Was Sam Munson at the game?
I don't think so. But okay. Sam Munson's been, upset that Chiefs fans have called them out for PFF grades and things like that around Mahomes.
So wait, Logan's getting in fights with Sam Munson.
I don't know what's going on.
Who used to appear on this show pretty regularly, I would point out.
This station, at least.
This station, sorry. And Dusty's trying to start fights. He's line police?
Yeah, now I will say, this guy absolutely knew what he was doing. He absolutely was kind of cutting up and going to just blend in. No, dude, get the back of the line.
All right.
Yeah, media fights. I'm sure so many people care.
I just wanted
it's true. Well, there's no disputing that. Like, that happened. I don't think Dusty would deny it. That definitely did happen last night in the press box. All right, up next, let's talk about this defense and what they have done over the last 10 quarters. And fans, yes, as we hinted at, are finding new reasons to say things are rigged for the Chiefs.
Second and six, Kansas City's ball at their own 46-yard line. Fake handoff to Pacheco. Here comes pressure. Mahomes wheeling around, trying to get away from trouble. Does, and throws it late. He's got a man open. It's Noah Gray leaking at the 40-yard line of the Commanders. Forward motion to the 39. Frankie Louvu makes the tackle, but Mahomes was able to avoid three different Commander rushers to get a 15-yard pass.
One of the ridiculous plays of the night. I know it was only a 15-yard catch to Noah Gray, but
looked Noah Gray on the sideline while slinging it from his hip.
If you watch the play, you know why that one was singled out on the highlights a little bit there, because that was just an absurd play from one Patrick Mahomes. Coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to be joined by Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider. We'll talk NFL. We'll also talk about his experience as an MLB correspondent. Responded in Toronto.
Yeah. Gave away some World Series tickets. That was
first
pretty cool.
Couple games of the World Series. We'll also discuss the 18-inning walk-off win for the Dodgers yesterday. But the defense of Kansas City has now allowed 14 points total in the last 10 quarters. Of course, 7 last night, the shutout against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I could tell there was plenty of frustration in the first half, though. Despite only, at that point in time, still not giving up any more than 7 in the first half, because they were able to move the ball pretty consistently.
Mariota was getting some easy passes.
It was a lot of stuff in the flats. Like, there was no deep threat other than the one touchdown to Terry McLaurin,
which was an incredible
catch. Other than that, there was no throws really beyond 15 yards or 10 yards. It felt like beyond 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. Everything else was checkdowns to Jeremy McNichols. They were able to get to one of their tight ends throughout. Other than that, there wasn't really much stretching of the field there. And so the Chiefs quickly made an adjustment in the second half there, you could tell, because for a while, Marcus was very comfortable back there, just kind of dumping it off and letting his guys run.
But I think that's part of their defensive strategy. It's better than bend, don't break. I don't want to call it that, because it's much better than that. And I don't think the Chiefs defense is getting nearly the credit it deserves. So in a couple weeks, the Chiefs are going to take on the Denver Broncos, a team that everyone lauds is this defensive monster, and they are a great defensive team. This is what you mentioned in the first thing. When people talk about great baseball teams in an individual year, they talk about the team that hit homers. When they talk about great quarterbacks gold, they talk about the ones who put up yards and stats. When they talk about defenses, they talk about the teams who get sacks. And because the Chiefs aren't a high sack team, they are not at any point this year going to get the credit they deserve. That Denver team I just mentioned, they are better than them in points per game allowed. They are better than them in yards allowed per game. They are better than them in yards allowed per play. The only stat in which the Denver Broncos on paper are better than Kansas City is sacks. And so if you, and this is not meant to be a side-by-side comparison between the two, but I want you to remember this. When we get a couple weeks down the road and they start talking about Denver's defense and how they're going to slow them down, and you should be saying the same thing about Denver or the Chiefs offense and slowing down Bo Nix or slowing down Josh Allen.
The Chiefs defense, yeah.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense is one of the best ones in the league up until this point in week 8, and getting nickel and dimed a little bit by Marcus Mariota, if it leads to no points, does not bother me. Like, if I go back and look at that first half, yeah, they let up some easy yardage, and Marcus Mariota on the ground was a bit of a problem, and then other than that, they had no real answers.
This has been the theme of the last year or so with Spags and this defense. You know, tight ends typically can have some pretty good days against them. They don't feel like that's what's going to beat them. Like, they feel confident that down the field, Trent McDuffie, and I'll include Jalen Watson. I thought he played great last night, too. They're, you know, one really good catch for Terry McLaurin that resulted in a touchdown. I believe that was when it was a mismatch. They had Nick Bolton and Shamari Connor, I think, were technically the two closest guys in coverage on that play. And then Terry McLaurin made an unreal catch against McDuffie, but McDuffie was right on him. It just was an unbelievable play.
Yeah, it's just a better play by McLaurin.
So those are plays that's where they're going to slow you down. In the middle of the field, you can get some chunk yards with tight ends going across the middle of the field or dumping it off to your running back and making Tranquil and Bolton chase, depending on what personnel they have on the field. You know, I think for me, it's been tight ends or when an opponent has a quarterback that nobody's saying Lamar Jackson necessarily, but has the ability to at least escape the pocket and move. You know, there was some read option calls also for Marcus last night, but we know Trevor Lawrence was able to have success on the ground, not on design runs. Justin Herbert in week 1. Those are the two or three type of plays where teams have had more of the consistent success, but it's usually not enough to sustain throughout an entire game. They got them in the Jags game, but they also made plenty of mistakes, including a pick 6 on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, this is a defense that, I don't know how many times we have to say it. Like, anybody that still is panicking after one drive or one half of the Chiefs defensive football, like, we've seen years of this now. Like, on Sunday against Buffalo, Josh Allen could carve him up in the entire first half. It doesn't mean he's going to do it all game long. Like, we have just seen evidence so many times that teams can have success in the first half, and then adjustments are made, great coaching, and they buckle down. And in this case, they gave up 7 points and that was it.
It's not even like I was looking at deeper numbers because I was trying to decide, because some of this goes back to what we were talking about when I had asked you guys last week. Tell me the thing you like the best about the defense, but don't say Spags. Like, just give me the like players, scheme. Like, tell me something that you think this defense does great, because I think that that's what people are having a hard time grabbing on.
And I said, we did do that discussion. Yeah. I said the corners. I said Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie and the depth that they have there.
And I think my answer was linebackers. And at this point, based on their ability to hold down top rushers in the NFL, you can't tell me that that's not it. And maybe they aren't a great sack defensive line. They're 19th in the NFL in sacks per game. So they're probably not. I still think they're going to trade for a defensive lineman, but we'll set that aside for another day.
From today is a deadline, right?
They are obviously a great run-stopping defensive line. What's the argument not for it? Something they're doing right is stopping every single opposing running back who is coming into town. And yeah, not this week. Well, this week, James Cook is phenomenal. A couple weeks from now, Jonathan Taylor is playing better than any running back in the NFL. And so they'll be tested in this regard. But Crosky Merritt was having a good run before he came in. Saquon Barkley, only finished with like 80 yards against them. They faced some top end running backs and they're not getting run over.
The difference with Cook will be he is way more of a passing threat as well, a receiving threat as well.
And versus Bolden still struggles in pass coverage. There were a couple of snaps in this last game against Washington.
And when you were gone last week, Bink was in and we were giving him a hard time because he kept mentioning the fourth down defense, but it is relevant. Again, I'll give him credit for this. The Chiefs' fourth down defense is still the best in football. It's down to 20% conversion rate against them. So teams are going for fourth. They are not converting. Just devastating turnover on downs. It happened again multiple times last night.
First two drives two of the first three drives into that way.
Yeah, so teams are only converting 20% of their fourth downs against Kansas City. That's why the scores are the score. Like, as much as it is the offense, why are there shutouts and only giving up seven the last 2 weeks? That's because teams are being aggressive as they need to be against Kansas City, and the Chiefs are holding up on fourth and twos and fourth and ones.
But like in previous iterations of the Chiefs defense, Gold, they were bend don't break in the sense that they'd be, oh, the Chiefs are the sixth best defense in points per game, but they allow the 15th most yards. And we would just accept this as like, you know what? They're good in the moment that counts. They're good in fourth. They're good in the red zone. We'll take it. They're the fourth best yards per game allowed defense in the NFL. They're allowing less than 300 yards per game in the league. The only three teams better than them are Houston, Atlanta, and Cleveland. And I'm convinced half of those teams are allowing less yards because nobody has to play against them toward the end of the game because they're already blowing them out. And passing yards per game, I guarantee you they rank in the top, I don't know, probably 10. They're third best in the NFL. Rushing yards allowed per game. You're going to say, where do they rank in there? They are ninth in the NFL at just over 100. And that's mostly, and I would say the reason why they're lower on that is quarterback rushing yards, the only area I would argue that they regularly struggle in. And so there is no point or area of the field in which this team doesn't do well defensively other than sacks. And I admit that that's still in the long run needs to be improved. And some of that's like, you know, text line's asking, is Chris Jones done? The biggest problem in the sack department is Chris Jones doesn't have any.
Continues what does he to get have?
One and a half? One half?
Yeah, something like that. He continues to get double teamed.
But and I'm not saying that's not a problem, but he has two sacks so far this year. So, like, are those numbers going to have to come up? Sure. George Karloftis, I'm sure, is on pace for between. We said it was 8.5 yesterday. It's probably 9.5 today because he got a sack yesterday. So it's, you know, right around the same numbers it was before, and he's doing there. So, like, I don't know. I've just been really impressed by the defense. I'm getting more impressed by the week, Gold. And there were parts of me that questioned it, not in the first half, because I'm like, they'll sort it through.
The other part, I saw this, you know, from just social media, you guys were listening to the broadcast and watching the broadcast, but last night we got a virtual measurement and like normally you're like, okay, why does the virtual measurement matter? Well, because when it involves the Chiefs, we get back into that conversation where I will say the virtual measurement took just as long, if not longer than if we just had the chain
they said
gang.
Expedited. I don't think
it was. It was definitely not expedited. The whole point was to have an accurate measurement that also didn't require a chain gang to go out there. Two things with it. One, I actually thought because of the length, it did create some drama. We were wondering, would the drama go away on a spot of a football without the chain gang? Well, in last night's case, no, there was still plenty of drama when they put up that graphic to show the Commanders were, 5 inches short of the first down marker. And then immediately everybody said, of course, if it was the Commanders needing to get a stop, they would have rigged it. Reminder, the spot of the ball is still done by the official, and there were some bad spots last night across the board.
It was a tough night for the people. One that she's on the 3-yard line. Yeah. They were on the half yard line.
Not the best spots last night. That's true. But the virtual measurement is just wherever there's nothing to really change.
The ball's tracked.
It's just tracked, and there's the line to gain, and there it is. There is no hacking. But people once again lose their mind when they get into primetime Chiefs games. If the Chiefs were playing at noon, nobody would have said anything. The Chiefs are on primetime standalone, and any call that is favorable to Kansas City, even if it's correct, which it was, people go all down the conspiracy.
Can I get like a little music here, Drew? Would that be too much to ask? I just want to read through, Gold. Maybe we can each read through a couple we saw last night. Quote, the refs strike again. The refs did not call a hold on the Chiefs and Juju Smith-Schuster for tackling a Washington defender. This allowed Kansas City to have a massive play. It was the 38-yard catch to Travis Kelce, just so you know.
The refs strike again, Cody. That was the headline for a lot of people on their social media last night. The NFL is rigged. Refs see this and call out of bounds. It was originally the Terry McLaurin catch that they ruled out of bounds.
Wait, but they called that a catch.
Makes it hard to change the call on the field. They did change the call in reverse. But refs see this and call out of bounds. I'm sick of seeing the Chiefs ruin the game we love with rigged officials. Reminder again, the play was reviewed and overturned, and it was a touchdown for the Washington Commanders.
From Jeff Hawk 30 on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
How is the Commanders defensive back supposed to know he didn't catch the ball and is a defenseless receiver? He had his head down. He was practically hitting him with his helmet. The ref always gifting the Chiefs free first downs. They're down two touchdowns at that point in the game, I think.
Screenshot of the graphic with the spot of the football. 5 inches, of course, short. The Chiefs even have the robot refs on their side. The commitment the refs have to the Chiefs is the strongest relationship I've ever seen in my life.
The strongest relationship you've ever seen in your life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one's just blaming Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce as being a part of it. Quote, I guess if you're just the Chiefs, you can just ask for a flag and get it. The ref initially didn't even throw the flag. Then Xavier Worthy gestures for one, and looky here, he gets it. Refs always have the Chiefs' money line. Now they're saying they're the NBA. It's all rigged.
From John.
Also, why do they make it a 14-point game? It's money line. Just make it a sweat.
From John J. Trotta. It's week 8 in the 2025 season. The refs are still trying to bail out the Chiefs.
All right, this is from SM Highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Commanders coach to the Chiefs player. What is Aminahue doing? I can't believe they should have called him for two flags. I want to remind you that the hand was initially placed by the Washington Commanders coach. He was the person who initially put his hand on Aminahue. They thought two flags, multiple. They would like more than one personal foul called, if that does anything. We should have just played the Troy Aikman calls a part of this. Especially for that quarterback. That's how he said it, Drew. You were listening to the game. He said especially for that quarterback, like with some level of disdain. All right. That was a fun exercise.
We could do that the whole show. We could.
Oh, my God. I mean, it could just... I mean, honestly, we could do it every week. It's not going to be a problem at this point. Fans have just decided that no matter what they do. NFL memes sent out. The Chiefs have been called for 5 penalties in the last 2 weeks combined. Zero chance the referees call them for more than 5.5 penalties because they were showing the over-under before the game.
The Chiefs had 9 penalties last night. Just want to point that out. And the Commanders had how many?
2?
3.
Because the Chiefs and Commanders both had penalties that got overturned. Like, Chris Jones was offsides, but they completed the pass. Right. So they didn't worry about it. And there was at least one where the Chiefs didn't need it. So, they had 9 penalties last night?
Yeah. Oof.
I mean, a couple of different holds, all the special teams penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So back to being a penalized team, but the refs are still on their side. Had to try to keep that game close and still couldn't.
I just love it again that the NFL has chosen just nice, humble Midwest Kansas City as the team and the market that they want to prop up. Not Washington, D.C., not Philadelphia, not New York to help out those Jets and be great in the number one media market. No, they've chosen the middle-sized market of Kansas City to make them the face of the National Football League.
Who would see it coming?
I know. I mean, I appreciate
it. A lot of ways, who would see it coming?
I appreciate it. It's made our job a lot of fun, you know? Without them, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for the refs. Man. Yeah.
Then what would they do? We'll talk to Vinny Pasquantino coming up in 10 minutes. I think the first question you should ask him is, did you stay up till 2 a.m., Vinny?
Did you?
Because some of us did, I did, to watch the World Series as Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run in the 18th inning of a baseball game last night in which no run was scored after the 7th inning until the game-winning home run by Freddie Freeman. So absolute pitching clinic or lack of offense, however you want to look at it. Obviously an incredible game. Any game that goes like that in a World Series game is amazing. And it has Freddie Freeman, who's already a World Series hero, won the MVP last year, hit the Grand Slam in game one, won the MVP like that. We don't have to pretend like it's the greatest baseball game of all time. It's one of the better World Series games of all time. And still, even though Freddie Freeman was the hero, great pitching, great bullpen stuff, what Will Klein did for them, all the stuff that helped the Dodgers get the win. The fact that when you look at the stat sheet last night that Shohei Ohtani might not get another pitch to hit the rest of this series. He had 2 doubles and 2 home runs. And then for the remaining 10 innings of that baseball game, they told, we will never pitch you to the rest of this game. the rest of, I don't care how many times we got to put you on base. It almost cost him the ninth inning. He almost stole second base. Could have won the game right then. All this other stuff. He was on base nine times last night, man. Nine times. Intentionally walked five times, two home runs, two doubles. He's the greatest baseball player to ever live.
Yeah.
He's ruined that Barstool debate. It's not Jordan LeBron. We can't, it's not even fun. I don't even want to argue with anyone because I don't think there's anyone stupid enough to not say Shohei Ohtani at this point. It's stupid. It's ludicrous.
Nine times, set the postseason record, tied the all-time record. And I know typically you have to win the World Series, and I think the Dodgers will, by the way, but you have to win the World Series to be the MVP. No, it's over.
Just give it to him now.
The Blue Jays could come all the way back in this series, and all the way. They're only down 2-1, but you get my point. They come back in the series. Vladdy could hit a grand slam, and he'll probably win it, but he shouldn't. He shouldn't. The MVP is over. Shohei Ohtani is the World Series MVP. I don't care if this goes 7 and the Blue Jays win. It's over. He has to be the MVP. But you're right. It was amazing, but it's not the greatest championship game of all time. That's a little prisoner of the moment. We've seen walk-off touchdowns.
It's the longest.
We've seen walk-off touchdowns in Super Bowl overtimes. I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you and I were there. We have seen Grand Slam walk-offs to potentially send a team to a World Series, so an AL championship. Last night was not a clinching win. If it was a Freddie Freeman 18th inning walk-off to win the World Series, it's a little bit different. A little bit different. But
yeah, game seven.
So I got home from Arrowhead way earlier than I thought I would. Like, it was quick last night for whatever reason. Well, the locker room was moving.
Sometimes it happens, you know?
I was home by midnight, which was awesome, I must say, for Monday Night Football. And so I watched, and I fell asleep. The TV was on when I woke up this morning. I fell asleep right when it went to the 18th inning, so I did not see it live.
Oh, so close.
Because I was at that point, I'm
it's
like,
2 a.m., man.
At that point, I'm like, I can't stay up till 3 or 4. I do have a job the next day. I have to work. I have to go to bed. So I just was like, well, I'm going to watch until literally I can't keep my eyes open. And I fell asleep. I remember right when Joe Davis or whatever was like, we're going to the 18th inning from L.A.
Yeah, I dozed in the 14th for a little bit, back up, and it's the 16th, and you're like, okay, I got to lock back in. Time to watch this game. I got to see how this thing ends. Freddie Freeman hitting a walk-off home run. I can't get over the fact. Like, legitimately, I think this is the only time I think I would have ever said this about it. Like, prime Barry Bonds is the last time I remember saying this. I legitimately do not think there is any strategy that makes sense other than never pitching to Shohei the rest of this series. The only way you have a chance to win this World Series if you're the Blue Jays is if you never pitch him again. By the way, he's the starting pitcher tonight. So, like, on top of what he did last night, which was good on base nine times, he intentionally walked five times, hit two home runs, hit two doubles. He'll just step on the mound and probably throw seven scoreless tonight in a game in which the Dodgers desperately need him to go seven innings because they had to use bullpen last night to get in there. I don't remember seeing anything like this. Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet right now. I have seen other great quarterbacks do great things. I've never seen anything like Shohei Ohtani. It is an alien on Freak Island. It makes no sense, and I've never seen anything like it. And yes, it has made the World Series exciting because you want to watch, even if the games, you want to watch something you've never seen before. Shohei Ohtani is your chance to do it. The three guys who got on base the nine times were all like in the aughts. So, like, guys like playing during like the World War II era and stuff. It's nuts.
Yeah, the game tonight is the one to watch because he's pitching. What you're saying is you want to watch for Ohtani, to pitch tonight. But if they're going to
never hit again,
if they're going to intentionally, and it sounds like John Schneider said they're going to, like, if they're going to intentionally walk him the rest of the series, well, then some of that intrigue will go away because that stinks for the sports fan. If he's going to intentionally walk, but if I'm the Blue Jays, you absolutely have to do that.
I got to say, it's the right strategy. It really is. Speck said he thinks that they should eliminate the intentional walk. You should have to pitch to someone.
If nobody's on base, he said.
I said, but that's the problem.
You'll still walk the guy.
It's that, I'll just throw four sliders in the dirt. Like, I understand it comes with some risk, as in the ball could maybe get away, but, like, I'm not throwing him a strike. But I guess to Speck's argument, he's just saying, well, he could still have a chance to swing at it. Even if the slider's low or a foot outside, he could choose to swing at the pitch. But that's a part of the strategy of baseball. There is no thing like it in other sports in the sense that there is no, well, I'll just take Mahomes off the field other than let's try to run the clock and play good offense. But it's tough.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, our VidFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. He's been an MLB correspondent during the World Series. We'll talk some baseball with him. Also, his thoughts on the Chiefs and what he's been up to the last week or so. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
In the UEFA Champions League, every moment is a story.
Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League.
And every great story needs an audience. Feel every match.
Mbappe in the middle.
Every goal.
Oh, would you believe this?
From the best clubs.
Real Madrid strike.
And the biggest stars.
Bukayo Saka scores.
This is the world's best soccer.
Momentous and iconic.
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.